Good morning. It's April the 18th. Our New Testament reading today is John chapter 11. I'm going to read to you from part of an exhortation given by Brother Harry Tennant. You can find it in his book, Comfort of the Scriptures. The Lord had told Martha that her brother would rise again. And now I read. The expression rise again is the same as that found in John chapter 6, verses 39, 40, 44, 54, and so on. Unlike our word rise, it has more than one meaning, including, in the right context, rising from the dead. Martha had heard the words of Jesus on this very subject, and she knew, she perceived fully, that Christ would raise the dead at the last day. That message had been preached to her, and she was confident in it and said so. Jesus proceeded to educate her further, even in this time of distress. He himself, mortal as he was and not yet perfected, embodied the total hope. He was the resurrection and the life. This subject had been opened up in John 5. We live in Christ and we die in him. The fullness of those words does not always register with us, but we do need to try to comprehend them. God had given Christ the Spirit without measure. It made it possible for him to raise the dead. He had within him the power to give life, and soon would have the power to give it eternally. Meanwhile, for all who are dead in trespasses and sins, he has the power to quicken them to a new life. Moreover, he can bring the dead to life and preserve the faithful living to eternity. No one who believes in him will die unto the age, or, as some versions have it, die forever. Unknown to Martha, though she must have been aware that something was to happen, the Lord was both educating her and preparing her for the forthcoming wonder. As with the woman at the well and the blind man in Jerusalem, the Lord evoked a confession from Martha, the very essence of true faith. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. This is a confession of the truth of the Old Testament, of the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus, and therefore that he was Son of God. At the tomb he wept. Wept in common sorrow at the necessary distress of the family, even though he was shortly to transform the scene into one of joy. This strange mixture of being of us and yet of the Father is more than we are able to understand. The people around reflected on his past miracles, and they too wondered why he had not intervened in the sickness of Lazarus. No one perceived the wonder of what was about to happen, a miracle at the very heart of the ultimate power of Christ. He commanded the stone to be moved away. Martha, ever practical, warned against the corruption that must already have set in. He reminded her that he had already told her that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. No human hands would remove the stone of his tomb, and no stone would prevent his coming forth. At the door of the sepulchre, the Lord prayed a prayer of thankfulness and praise in total confidence that what he was about to do had already been granted by his Father. Maybe we have assumed that his miracles were always wrought as spontaneous acts, as though drawing on a reservoir of internal power. But he has told us that some miracles required prayer and fasting. He must have been ever thankful, ever beseeching, and ever believing as he did his mighty works. There can be no mightier work than the raising of the dead. This day of Lazarus was harbinger of the final glory, when the Father would be glorified in the Son, and the Son would be glorified by the Father. May that day soon come. Thank you for listening.